I got a lot of things I want to go through for future here at our church. So let's begin with a word of prayer and then get into our worship service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for our salvation in Jesus Christ. How grateful we are for the Word of God, and how thankful we are for the Holy Spirit to teach us. Now, Father, we pray that you would bring to us a fellowship together in worshiping and telling others of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. All right, let's begin with Him. And we're going to change history of this church. I guess somebody said it's been a long time since we've ever done three. But let's turn to page 216. 216. Let's see, be sure I'm right. Yes. All right, 216. Great is thy faithfulness. The faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the faithfulness of God in our life, in our effort of salvation. So let's stand and sing together, page 216. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever shalt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord.
Second hymn, page 213. Page 213.
Savior, like the shepherd leading.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pastures, lead us. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us like we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine, we are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way, keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee.
Okay. Now, a couple of things I want to go over. First of all, let's see. How do I want to do this? Okay, first of all, the fun side. We got some nice things going on. Brian and Julie have been married 23 years today. So that's good. All right. And,
congratulations.
Yeah, my goodness. And Jerry and Leslie have been married 29 years. That was a fun day when they married. Did a lot because of my friendship and all, involved with a lot of things. And after the wedding, and we went to the wedding party, and I got to kind of had things happening there. And about 11 o'clock, Jerry walks up and says, "You're fired." So that's it. That was in the mind. All right, now.
Herman and Rick and Terry, I think it's their 25th anniversary. It was yesterday, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all three of our guys.
Very good. I didn't know that. Very good, Rick and Terry. All right, my goodness.
It was Monday.
September must have been a day for a month of you getting married. What happened to June? I thought June was the month of marriage. But here we are, all these June, Septembers. Now, Spring Valley Bible Church, people, I beg you, join me in prayer and effectively some of these things. We're going to have three hymns to sing, and in a few moments we'll always have one come up and read the scripture reading, and just different things are going to start happening. And I'm hoping that I was thought about doing doing this next Sunday, but I don't know that I can generate enough energy out of you for to do it. So it'll probably be the first Sunday in October or November. But we're going to have a big day for inviting somebody that is new, young to you, invite somebody to come to church. And we're going to have the whole service will be on the communion, and we'll be to have the visitors come to fellowship and worship with us. So we got that going on probably next year. Well, not probably. I don't think I can get it going for this Sunday, but next Sunday. So next Sunday we will have communion. Don't misunderstand me. We will have communion, but as far as really making it a day to invite someone to come to church at that time. Also, I'm going to think about having a church meeting every second month, every 2 months. Let's come together, talk about our finances, whatever's going on, and whatever new things y'all want to do, this type of thing. We'll start doing that. So we'll start that probably in October with doing it every 2 months. We'll come together and have an office time together. Let's see. Anything else that you can think of that will be effective to our church, to blessing, then please remember that. And let me know, and we'll think about having that in here. Now let's talk about prayer. Do you have any prayer? No prayer? My goodness, all right. Well, then please be in prayer for my wife. She's not doing too well, and she has a major problem now and then on her head. So please be in prayer for Judith, and just be in prayer for each other. We need to be in prayer for each other. And that's something else I'm going to be talking about. Find out if there's any interest for a prayer meeting, prayer time together. We used to do that here. And then we stopped, and then we started up again, having it back here. But COVID closed that down. But back to seeing if there'd be any interest to come together and prayer for different things that we come together and pray for. I grew up in a church that prayer meeting was very important. And I remember when I was just a little guy, about 9 or 10, and I kept wanting to go to church for a prayer. My mother said no. And then I wanted to go when they had church meetings. And no, I just wasn't allowed. But I think it's very good to come together with others and go into prayer. So we'll get into prayer with each other. And as I said, if you think of anything else, please let me know. And we'll think about getting these things done. Any other prayer? Yes.
Just a reminder that Phyllis's younger brother passed away on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Phyllis Music's brother passed away on Wednesday.
Okay.
I think he had a blood clot that he was 80, I believe, and they knew he wasn't going to make it. He had been ill, I think, for a few days, and he was in the hospital. But it's been kind of hard on his wife because she has diabetes and she's in a wheelchair, and so, you know, the prayer for her.
Please, let's be in prayer for the family and for Phyllis. Please. She's a faithful member of our assembly, and I'm upset that she didn't come. I'm going to give her my thing from this call and let me know. So let's be in prayer for Phyllis and what's going on with in her life. Okay, now, another thing. Yes?
I did see one prayer request come up. Chris Daig, Chris and Lori Daig have 10 pets.
Have what?
Had 10 Aggies at their house this weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
And so they aren't with us right now. And they, and they ask for prayers for all those Aggies traveling back to Aggies.
All right. So. Let's do that. My goodness. Let's see. Just found out that my neighbor across the street is an Aggie. Went to A&M, started this year, first time. So that was cool. But, all right, let's be in prayer for Chris and Marty and for all the Maggies that are traveling on the car. Be in prayer for all the young people that are traveling in cars to get back to home. At this time, it's very important. Now let's talk about the offering. Excuse me. Right now, we're going to have every other Sunday, every other month, a time together. We're going to come together about our finances and this type of thing. And right now, we're growing ourselves just a little bit over what we require to keep everything going each Sunday. But I got some things we need to spend money on, and that's missionaries. We need to get back and being into the heart of missionaries, start with Risley's and so, and others. If you have some other names of missionaries, please let me know. Please let us know. We can get this going, and if not about money, at least in prayers. Yes.
You just reminded me, Dan and Pat are in Liberia, right?
Yes. Yeah. All right. So let's be in prayer for our missionaries and with each other. Talk about missionaries going to what's going on in the mission field. So let's be in prayer. I'd forgotten that they left also. All right, so let's be in prayer for them. But right now, let's just go into offering for the things we need to get taken care of. How are we doing on the internet? Good. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer for our offering. Father, how grateful we are for the privilege that we have to grow and to tell others of Jesus Christ, to grow in wisdom, grow in doctrine. Father, we this morning saw how important these things are. Those teaching of the love and the concern of believers. So, Father, we need to continue to grow in wisdom and grow in understanding of the Word of God. So we pray, Father, that you will continue to use our finances to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, now for studying in the Word of God, we're going to be studying in Ephesians chapter 1, namely verse 18, but 17 through 20. So I've asked Kit to come forward and to pray, to sing, to read for us the passage.
And when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come as someone superior in speaking ability or wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I also was with you in weakness and fear and in great trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of mankind, but on the power of God. Yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the human heart, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among people knows the thoughts of a person except the spirit of the person that is in him? So also the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. But the one who is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is discerned by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you. All right. Got to get into a little more smooth in doing this, but if we have this ready and everything next time, it'll be a little bit smoother. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. Move into our study of the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, so many passages throughout the Word of God deal with your wisdom, your knowledge, our growth in. Pray, Father, your Spirit will give us this ability, give us this blessing tonight, this morning in our study. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name for His glory. Amen. All right, this morning we're going to go into inheritance for eternity. Not just for a while, but for eternity. And the inheritance is going to be very important. And it's important to a lot of people, even in life. A lot of people, they'll run their parents are dying because they're going to get something. And they want to know what they're going to get. They're going to get what their brothers didn't get or their sisters, all this type of thing. Well, we're going to be talking about inheritance from God. Now, we're in the middle of dealing with the prayer of Paul for these believers. Prayer is so important in regard to Christian lives. There are three vital topics in our verses that we're going to be looking at. First of all, verse 16. Paul announces his prayers to God the Father, for these believers. Not unbelievers, believers. Secondly, then in verse 16, Paul proclaims that he does not cease giving thanks for them. Not to them, but for them. And then then in verse 17 through 21, Paul lists important issues in his prayers for these believers. So let's reread his prayer. Verse 16, while making mention of you in my prayers, this is a good thing for you and I to learn, to pray for one another, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the true knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that, for this purpose, you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness. Well, remember, what we're studying is prayer. This is what he's praying for these believers. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, which he, God, brought together, this inheritance, in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, which is where Jesus Christ is right now. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. That's the millennium. Now, this is all part of Paul's prayer. Please learn how to pray for one another. If we look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, always giving thanks for all things, good or bad, giving thanks for the working of God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Then we have the continually being in prayer and stand in the Holy Spirit for Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Now, we should pray for each other. We should pray for believers in your family, your own family, children's, parents, aunts, uncles, all these, your people in your family. Be in prayer for those in the assembly right here. In our nation, be in prayer for them and for believers throughout the world. There are a lot of places in the world right now that are being killed just because they believe in Jesus Christ. And to be in fervent prayer, and that they may gain wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and pray for the needs that each of these believers will have. Just remember, we studied some time ago the three steps of prayer. There is prayer preparation, preparing to pray. There is prayer, and there is prayer pursuit. Now, just to get a little humor here, the giving a prayer for thanks for eating, that's simple. We know what it's for, we want to get it done, and then we want to pursue it. Let's eat. Okay? So that way you do it. But that's the idea of prayer in life, in our prayer life. So here we're dealing with prayer preparation. Begins with you decide that you will depend on God for direction in life and solutions to problems. The foundation for prayer preparation is the Word of God. When you start going into prayer, that's now the second part, you start going into prayer means that you are now seeking the will of God and for God to act in your life. Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Psalm 56:4, in God, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? I hope you learn in your prayer life to pray for believers. Notice here that Ephesians is concerned with prayer to to believers, not to unbelievers. The whole study of Psalms or Hebrews, it is not about unbelievers. Yes, we're to pray for unbelievers, but please never forget to pray for other believers and how important it is. Please remember to pray an effective prayer. Prayer is prayer in the Holy Spirit. Now, the third part, prayer pursuit. First of all, you spend time determining what you're going to pray, what needs to be prayed. Then you go into the prayer, and then you go into prayer pursuit. This is the stage of prayer that leads to the dynamics of prayer. Prayer pursuit places you in position for God to answer your prayers and for God to act in your life. Prayer pursuit is living according to what you have prayed. That's why I warn you, be dangerous. Be careful. Well, Lord, I pray that we'll have the money for doing things we need to get done, but I'm not going to give you any. That isn't going to work. And, I think when we used to have some young people in here, Father, give us some teachers to teach young people, but not me. Don't call me to come in and teach them. So be careful about your prayer pursuit. God perhaps may have a pursuit for you that you don't plan on. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope, that's the confidence, of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. This refers to the confidence of all eternity in Jesus Christ. No matter what your life is like throughout your life and at death, your soul departs immediately present to the Lord. Doesn't matter what kind of life you lived. If you're a believer in Christ, the moment you die, you come face to face with Christ. There is no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more death. The old things have passed away. And no matter what kind of life you've lived, what we're studying happens to every believer. So people, do not matter yourself heavy over when someone dies. They're a believer in Christ. They're face to face with Jesus Christ. Eternity after death does not depend on anything that you have done since other than faith. The death of a believer is settled in eternity and depends entirely on who and what God is and what Jesus Christ has done. Never is it dependent on you, on another person. So, the hope, the confidence of His calling is about the certainty of eternity with Him. No one knows what heaven's going to be like. A lot of people speculate, think, hope, wish, all this. We don't really know what all heaven's going to be like. No one really knows. But one thing we know, it is going to be perfect happiness. Nothing can destroy it. Nothing can change it. You have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's what every one of us has from God. It reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. And please know that you do not keep this by anything you have to do, but it is kept by the power of Jesus Christ. Now, continuing on, what are the riches of the glory and inheritance? Or, more correctly, what riches from the source of the glory of His inheritance? riches, and here it refers to unlimited resources. All right, let's take a look now. Spend a few moments on inheritance. As I said, a lot of people really look forward to it. And they plan on getting this or getting that. And that's just the way life has been. In a few moments, we'll talk about how communism works on this area. But let's take a look now at inheritance. First of all, first and foremost, what did Jesus inherit? God the Father has appointed Jesus as the heir of all things. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. So Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. That brings us to point two. Just think now. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you also have inherited all things. We are in Christ, and everything He has received from the Father, He has made us joint heirs of all things. I just sit and think about this. Don't do it during class, but this afternoon, tonight, sometime, sit and think. This is your heir for all things in Christ. Think of this. You are saved in Jesus Christ. Three things. You're saved in Jesus Christ. You are an eternal friend of Jesus Christ. And you're an eternal joint heir. Saved, friend, and joint heir of Christ. What does it mean that we are heirs of God? Being an heir of God means that we are in an eternal relationship to God the Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testified, this is something going on inside of us. The Spirit inside of us testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if, or since, third class condition, children, heirs, also heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Please just think of all that you have for all eternity as a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, notice the richness. Hebrews chapter 1. God also, after He spoke long ago in to the fathers of the prophets of the Old Testament, to the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, church age, has spoken to us to His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. And, continuing verse 3, and He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds, this is what He does for us, upholds all things by the word of His power. He upholds all these things we're reading, studying, by His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better, that's what Christ did, so much better than the angels. Now, I'm sorry, that doesn't mean very much to us. But if you're an angel, this, especially Satan, this is really upsets him. Because angels are superior to us. Superior in so many every way. And there we come, these meek little animals and called humans that believe in Jesus Christ, and now we are above angels. He has inherited a more excellent name, Jesus Christ's name, more excellent than they have. Now, point three. Heirship is based on sonship. Heirship is based on sonship. This is why Christ is called the Son of God. His title, Son of God, indicates he is the heir of God the Father, as well as a focal point of all that God has decreed. Now let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 16. By the way, I just want to thank Kit again for these printouts. He takes his time to come in and do these things, and I'm very thankful for it. All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit, Himself testifies with our spirit, human spirit, that we are children of God. And if, or since, and since children, heirs also. Heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer, that's death, with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Then in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. This is why, as heirs of God, we have to become sons of God. And that's why Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 tells us, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you become a son of God. Now, fourth, so we're building these things now. In point four, heirship is also based upon the death of another. We all know that. We'd all like to have mom and dad's stuff while they're still here. Some tried to give you a little bit while they're alive, but the idea is it's when they die, which when we get it. So, look at Romans chapter 5, point 8, or verse 8. Excuse me. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I handed down to you as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So we're based on the death. It's His death. Now, five, to inherit from God, we must possess the life of God. To inherit from God, you've got to have the life of God. You cannot be God's heir unless you're living just as He lives. God has eternal life. You must have the life of God, eternal life, to have the heirship. Titus chapter 3, verse 7, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the confidence of eternal life. 1 John 5:11, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. The one who has the Son has the life. The one who does not have the Son does not have the life. Okay, you got family members, friends, people you've met through life. They do not know Christ as Savior. Do you care at all? Do you care at all that they're going to spend eternity without Him? What a joy we have, an opportunity to come with them, to tell them about Jesus Christ and what Christ has done for them. I guess one of the greatest verses in the Bible, with so many doctrines involved in it, of this, John 3:16. For in this manner loved the God the world, that the Son, the only begotten, He gave that in order that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that we have His life by faith, we become heirs of God. 6. Therefore, salvation is the qualification for joint heirs, inheritance. Salvation is the qualification for being a joint heir. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Is the qualification given to us. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This is why in Ephesians chapter 1:13 we're told of our salvation is by faith. It's amazing how many people today do not understand the truth of the gospel. So many people don't even believe that it's there. He's going to save everyone. Some believe there's nothing going to be there. After you die, it's over. Some believe that everyone's going to go to heaven. Some believe you have to do works. Be sure you do this, do that. Some believe you can lose it. Just all kinds of things. Come in with the honest truth, biblical. Just believe in Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. That's the truthfulness of it. Point 7. Heirship is also related to the doctrine of election, since the joint heirs share the election of Christ. Great deal of doctrine going on here, but it has to do with our inheritance. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. For this reason, He, Jesus Christ, is the mediator of the new covenant, so that since a death has taken place on the cross for the redemption of the violations that were committed under the first covenant, the need of the new covenant is understood by the failure of the first covenant. It caused us to be proved to be sinners. Those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Let's go to point 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 4 through 5. We are told that we have the coming of His inheritance secured. It's yours. It is secured all eternity. It's yours. 1 Peter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to the great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance. You understand this? Bring up the resurrection. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, not faded away, reserved in heaven for you. Don't worry about what you have here on earth. Think about what is yours in death, face to face with Jesus Christ. Now, point 9. One of the most important principles of our inheritance is found in our relationship with Abraham, or in the promise of being heirs through or by means of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And if you belong to Christ, and you do if you believe by faith, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. For the promise to Abraham, or to his descendants, that'll be yours if you believe in Christ, see, that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It's not by anything we do, by works of the law. It is simple faith in Jesus Christ. Point 10. The inheritance of the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance. It's always nice to have, you know, how do I know I'm going to get anything, Dad, Mom, when you check out? See? Well, here's the proof of it, right here. The inheritance of the Holy Spirit, down payment. You have that, you have the inheritance. Do you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? If you believed in Christ as Savior, you have that. That means by having the Holy Spirit, you have the inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. Point 11. We are God's special possession, that is His glorious inheritance. See, I want you to understand right here. This is Christ's glorious inheritance. We are inherited of Him. What did He inherit? He inherited believers. He inherited you. And to Him, that's His glory. 118, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You have these saints, it's His glory. 12, we should have peace in our souls by the assurance of the inheritance from God. We should have peace. Don't worry about how you die, when you die, and all that. See? The moment you die, you are in face-to-face with Christ. And even before you die, you have the inheritance. But then it becomes reality. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Now I entrust you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build your faith, build you up, that's your faith, and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Who are sanctified? Those who are saved. And then finally, 13, God desired, this is so amazing, God desired to assure us the inheritance He is giving to us. We saw that Jesus Christ considers this a glorious thing, having us. Well, God is involved by wanting to assure us of our inheritance. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, in the same way, God desiring, do you ever think about God desiring something? God desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise, the unchangeable of His purpose, confirmed it with an oath. Gave to us an oath that He would give it to us. Believers who are heirs of God and joint heirs in Christ are declared to have the certainty of this heirship more than any other thing we're delivered in the Word of God. Study it. What are we given in the Bible after we're with along our salvation? It's about the inheritance. This is your guarantee. Think about heirship in our own relationship with others in human history. Study, for an example, Rome, which is where Paul used a great deal of his understanding of inheritance. In Rome, over its hundreds of years in history, about heirs through the Roman history. It is so interesting that one of the strongest points of law in the study of the Soviet Union, communism, and the People's Republic of China is the destruction of inheritance. In 1848, Karl Marx proclaimed that the communist revolution would effect the abolition of all rights of inheritance. Do you understand that? Karl Marx and his understanding of communism. Communism is under, we're going to move around, take out the idea of right, of the ideal of inheritance. Inheritance runs counter to the very basic tenets of communism. Francis Simmons wrote that. Satan cannot stand that God gives inheritance. Can't stand that. A study of the movements by Satan sees that Satan constantly is against things that God has clearly put in his plan, freedom, inheritance. Think about what's happening in the world right now. Why is there a segment of society that wants to take away the freedom in America? Take away the things that we have. And these are leaders, political leaders, that want to be communist because they want to abandon what God has done. They think their way is better than God's way. God has designed a wonderful plan here where man gets inherited. Because that's why. Because I want you to understand what I'm going to do. I'm going to make your inheritance by my son. So this is what he's done. But always remember God's plans, not man's. It doesn't matter. Even if, God forbid, and it continues on, and soon, and freedom in America is gone in America, and we are now under communism, God is still in control. And even if it works out where that is the place, things, if you're a parent, and things work good in this way, you don't have any inheritance for your children. They take it away. Just have the peace in your soul. I already have an inheritance. I have a solid inheritance in Christ. So all we have to do is remember that. This is why you should study the 13 points on the inheritance. Many passages, which cover many passages to the Bible. Most of these studies are from the New Testament. But please remember that inheritance in the New Testament is based on inheritance in line of Abraham of the Old Testament. So throughout all history, it is so important to understand inheritance. Now the last words in verse 18 is in the saints, or as the New American says, in holy ones. The point is that you cannot be an heir unless you are a saint. And you can't be a saint unless you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So you get to be a saint, you got to believe in Christ to get the inheritance. You've got to be a saint. Now, being a holy one, and that's what you are in Christ. Now, maybe your wife tells you you're not sometime. Maybe they feel like you're not sometime. See? Maybe somebody else in your life, a friend, your boss. But you just have this little thing inside. I am a saint before God. Not before man, before God. I am these things. Being a holy one is believing in Jesus Christ. Not by living a certain way of a life for Jesus Christ. Being a saint refers to just one thing. Believing in Jesus Christ as your eternal Savior, at which time you become an heir. All believers are saints. We each one are saints in Christ. If you have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are a saint. Now, what is an heir meaning in the Bible? A person who inherits as has a right of inheritance in the property of another fellowship of being later of the death by Jesus Christ on the cross. This is the glory of Christ. Seems like a vague description, but it is in the single word that best captures our future as children of God. Through the details of this inheritance are not made clear to us, it's made to us what we're going to have in the Word of God. And the key word for understanding your death is heir of Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for so great a salvation. We do not earn it. We do not deserve it. If you just saved us, we would have given thanks. But with that, Heavenly Father, you have given us so much. You have given to us riches in Christ for all eternity. That is just astounding. Not just salvation, but riches that belong to Christ. We praise you, Father, for your plan. Pray that you can substitute, take us now, Father, with all of these things we've been studying, that you strengthen our soul with this. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.